I was a young mum with two little children. I was Gordon's little wife. He always used to say, my little wife. And it was in Malaysia, you ruined me for life. Because we were at this service from 7 to 7, and they said, we want to pray for Malaysia. I've always been a girl that loved prayer. But I didn't really want to talk about it, not on a big platform. You see, I went to school and I was really bullied. How many of you found school not the best place in your life? And so at school, I discovered if you went to the library, the bullies don't work very well in the library, because there's two things that happen in the library. Number one, you can't speak. You're told, be quiet, it's the library. So bullies can't work so well. And the second thing is, there's always a member of staff to check up that you won't speak. And so I became a library girl. I hid in the library. I decided that I'd become a medical doctor and I would go to Nepal and work in Pokhara amongst the leprosy-affected people. I grew up in India, so I'm an Asian educated. I might look a nice Oxford girl speaking terribly nicely English, but I'm not. I'm really on the inside, I'm milk chocolate and dark chocolate. It's only on the outside I'm white chocolate. I move when I preach because, you see, I was a missionary in Africa, and there you have to move. And in Asia, you sit on the floor and you eat rice. And so I'm a very confused English girl. My parents, after being missionaries in India, became American nationality. So I've got American parents, married a British English gentleman, gave birth to my son in Africa, Kenya. So I'm a mama, because when you birth in Africa a boy, you are a mama. I grew up in India, and my daughter fell in love with an Australian. So I have Australian grandchildren. Dear Jesus, help me. Well, if we click through, maybe I can show you very quickly my family. This is a ministry heart cry for change, but it's just a holding slide. Just click. This is our son, David, with his wife and two of my little grandchildren. Little Annabelle there. It's her birthday tomorrow, and she will be 4. So happy birthday, Annabelle. This is my daughter, our daughter Nicola. She lives in Melbourne, the one who fell in love with an Aussie boy called Tim. And I've now got 3 little grandchildren, Alani, Leela, and Cooper. So I'm a blessed girl, confused, don't know quite where I come from, but I know one thing, Jesus is good. How many people have discovered Jesus is amazing? And so today, I'm going to be the voice of one crying. And I have been sent here. I said to the prayer team this morning, Jesus spoke to me and he said, Rachel, I want to send you to the nations to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. So I don't know who you are today. If you're comfortable, I've come to irritate you. If you feel afflicted, I've come to comfort you. And I think most of us have a little bit of both. But there is a voice crying. Where does the voice cry? Isaiah 40 says the voice cries in a wilderness. You see, so often we want that voice of God to cry in the garden. We want it in the nice place, in the beautiful place. But I tell you right now, the Bible again and again, John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. And so you see, the wilderness is not a problem. We can look at our nation and see the wilderness. We can see those things that we want more. We can look at our marriage. We can look at our workplace and see the wilderness. But guess what? God has got a voice that cries in the wilderness. The wilderness is not your problem. You see, God is going to set a new sound, a new voice to cry in that wilderness. And as I prayed about what I preached tonight, God said, I want you to cry out, upgrade season. There is more. Come on, Malaysia. There is more. Come on, you precious nation. As you sang your song, it wasn't only Pastor Chris who cried. I found myself weeping. I thought, come on, Malaysia, precious Malaysia, so much more. Why? Because that is who my God is. He is more abundantly above all you can ask or think or imagine. There is a voice crying in every wilderness, in every barren place, in every place where you just feel, what good can come from there? Guess what? God has put a voice. God has put a promise. God has put a word. And there is a cry coming forth. And he sent me all the way from England, 30 years to the day, unbeknown to my friend and intercessor in England, which she knew I was coming to Malaysia. She knew nothing about the time. She texted me yesterday and said, Rachel, there are pearls of great price for you in Malaysia. Now, for those of you, the 30th anniversary, what is the symbol of 30? The pearl. And suddenly I felt God say to me, Rachel, as you come into Malaysia, there is a reward, and you will see even in the wilderness. 30 years ago was very different from now. But there are pearls. And those pearls are formed in the place of irritation. Pearls are formed in the place of contest. Pearls are formed in hard, pressured places. A little bit of sand in our oyster. But something beautiful is being displayed. You see, there's a voice crying, and if you remember nothing else today, I pray that as you walk out, you hear the resonance, the cry of God saying, there's more for you. This is an upgrade season. Don't settle. Don't get comfortable. Don't worry about the wilderness, for in the midst of the wilderness, I can make the desert blossom. I can make the crocus bloom. I can make the lame leap like from the store, there is something that will happen beyond your thinking. The wilderness is not your problem. So I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. And it says this. If it's on the screen, can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, there's a voice crying, Malaysia, get ready for more. I saw your step in, but this morning I spoke to your prayer leaders and I speak to you. I believe God also wants to say, step up. It's not only just a step in the same level, it's step up. It's an upgrade season. God wants to give you more. He wants to give you a greater understanding of what there is available for you. He says, if your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more does your daddy in heaven want to absolutely overwhelm you with the goodness of God? How much more? You see, that little girl of 24, 5 years old that came to Malaysia, she was bound up, she was insecure. You know, I never spoke publicly. I never became a medical doctor that went to Nepal to work amongst leprosy-affected people because I failed my French exam. For some reason, the English education system think you need to speak French to be a good doctor. We won't go there. But you see, I couldn't speak French because there was something so sealed in me, so frightened of being ridiculed, because I would not break the sound barrier and speak. So when I came to my oral exam and they asked me, what's your name? Comment tell you. I wouldn't answer. I just hung my head. I would never speak in a public place. But that's why I love my precious husband, because he saw that I was not a budgerigar in a cage. I was an eagle that had shut myself in a cage. And he kept saying, Rachel, you've got to preach. Rachel, you've got to speak. And I kept saying, no, let me have the kiddies. I'm fine. And he said, no, there's more in you, Rachel. Come on. And God and Gordon ruined my life for more. And broke those chains. And in the wilderness of all my rejection and all the bullying and all my insecurity, Malaysia, you precious nation, you called me forth. And because of my sense of responsibility, because there was a big meeting planned and the speaker had their visa refused, and they said, well, you have to do it. And I'm going, dear God, I want to serve my husband and serve the church, so help me. And I stood up, and the power of God came on me, and I understood that in the wilderness of all my insecurity, there is a God of more than enough. And you know, since that time, 30 years ago, I've never advertised, but God has just picked me up and taken me nation to nation, place and space, and used me again and again. And what an incredible God that He would upgrade me and use me. Who am I that He would pick me up and let me be a voice to the nations? But it started right here. Come on, Malaysia. You've got something here. You birthed me and threw me to the nations. How much more, say that with me today, how much more will my Father give to me? You see, more is a biblical expression. Often with our cultural mentality, in the British culture, we, you know, we have Charles Dickens, and many of us are aware of Oliver Twist. You know, the little boy who comes to this stern-looking father figure. Please, sir, I want some more. And the reaction is, what? More? Shut up. Sit down. Be quiet. Be grateful for what you've got. You've got enough. Don't stretch for more. And I believe so often we don't even realize it, but in our cultural mindsets, in our church mindsets, we just get comfortable and we settle for the average, the medium. But there is something of the Spirit of God that wants to come and shake us and say, come on, there is more. And our more hesitant side says, yeah, but I don't want to make a fuss. I just want to be a good girl. I just want to sit down. Gordon, leave me alone. Don't make me do it. And he says, come on, Rachel, there is more of Jesus in you. And there is more of Jesus in so many of you. Don't downsize the gifting, the call of God upon your life. Don't downsize the gift and call upon you as a nation. I felt God speak to me and say, watch Southeast Asia, 2020. Southeast Asia, I'm going to raise up as an instrument in my hand to be a voice into the nations. And watch Malaysia. Many think Singapore is the place of influence, but I've got my secret weapon, and her name is Malaysia. And I'm raising her up to be a voice in this time. And so you've got to seize the opportunity to step up and take hold of what I believe God wants to give you. You see, there is more. More is a biblical expression. Let's look. I can't do them all, but I'm going to rehearse some scripture with you. Matthew 8, 37. What does that say? No, in Matthew 8, verse 37. Read it with me. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Did you know you're not just a conqueror? You are more than a conqueror. How can you be more than a conqueror? Well, it means someone else has won the battle and done the hard work and done the blood, sweat, and tears, and you step into the influence that they've already won for you. Jesus hung on that cross. Jesus paid the price. Jesus broke the power of the devil. Jesus broke every chain of addiction. Jesus broke the power and the influence of all that rejection and insecurity. Jesus broke it. And then He gave you the check so that you can live free. More than a conqueror. And you see, Jesus shed His blood for this precious nation of Malaysia. Jesus has died, but now He hands you a blueprint. He hands you a document, and He says, you haven't got to do all the hard work, but you have got to execute the written judgment. You've got to be the bailiffs of the court of heaven. You've got to take the decree of God and go and deliver it to home after home in Malaysia, to business centers, to people and marriages and young people, and say, there is a God who loves you more and he wants to increase you more. It is not a season of downsize, it's a season of upgrade. There is a voice crying in the wilderness of Malaysia, get ready, step up. There is a new day. More than a conqueror. Matthew chapter 10, 31 says, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than the sparrows. You are worth more. I've noticed one thing in my life. I've been a pastor for many years now, but the dirty devil always makes you feel worthless. How many of you have felt worthless? You felt, what can I do? I am only. I felt that for many years, still do. And I have to come back to my great God and say, no, I am worth more than I can ever imagine. And God is speaking to you here. He said that there's been a voice that tells you, who are you? Shut up, sit down. No one will listen to you. You're worth nothing. But today, there is a voice crying in that wilderness, and it's saying, no, 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 you are worth more. More, more, more. And God gives you value today. So much more. Mark 4, verse 24 says, now consider carefully what you hear. Read it with me. It says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. You see, this is the incredible generosity of God. How many of you have discovered that just when you think you've given to God, he then gives back to you and even more? Just when you think, well, I've really been brave and I've really stepped out and I've really given financially or of your time, and you think, wow, that was a big push, and suddenly God just goes, well done, have some more. I believe this is a season for outrageous generosity. God is going to ask us to stretch, because you see, God is saying we're going to turn the wilderness into a blooming garden. We're going to turn the barren and make them fruitful. We're going to turn the wicked and they're going to become righteous. We're going to turn the poverty and make it riches. And this is a turnaround season of so much more. But then we've got to risk, what's the word? More. We've got to give more, even more will be measured to us. And I wonder where in your life you've got strict measurements. You see, my fear and my insecurity, it made me measure very strictly. I was terrified of people. But God began to say, come on, Rachel, give. And giving is not always comfortable. Give. And as I began to give, God measured to me more. He's so wonderful. Romans 5, 20. It says, the law was brought in so that trespass or sin may increase. But read it with me. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. You know, I sometimes think this is like the devil wants to play snap with us. But God has always got the winning card. He said, oh, I see your sin. You're a liar. You lose your temper. You watch pornography. You do this, you do that. And he's got all the cards. And just when you think it's over, then he plays another card. And God says, but I've always got the trump card. I have grace more than enough for every mistake, for every sin, for everything that you've done wrong. I am the God that has the trump card. I have more. Isn't that amazing? And maybe you're in this service tonight and you're saying in your heart, yes, but I don't deserve more. None of us do. We have to learn to be good receivers, but God has more for you. Gordon and I just had the privilege of ministering to a whole team of leaders who have all come out of prison, heroin, drug addiction. And they lead 17 houses across Britain, which take care for many drug addicts and people on a journey to find freedom. And as we sat in this room with these outstanding leaders, and I listened to their stories, there was one couple, tears down their face. He said, "I was a heroin addict for 18 years. I've done terrible things. I actually, in the end, used to run a brothel and have prostitutes and everything. I abused people and I was terrible. But," he said, "I've met Jesus. I've got totally free and I've lived free for 8 years. But I've ruined my body." And he said, "And this is my wife. She started taking drugs when she was 11. By the time she was 18, she was on heroin. At the age of 32, she was trafficking girls to keep a habit, as well as doing all sorts of prison, etc." She said, "We deserve nothing. And then God set us free, called us together, and we're now married and leading a movement to set people free." Don't you think that's amazing? And then they said to us, they said, "Do you think God could give us more?" And I said, "Well, what do you want?" They said, "Well, we've ruined our bodies because of our stupid choices, and neither of us are able to have children. Do you think God would so restore us and so trust us? Do you think God could trust us to be parents?" How many of you say, "That sounds like grace"? And you know, we laid hands on them and we prayed for them before they got married. 9 months later, they had their first child. We prayed for them again. 2 years later, they had their second. And now they've just had their third, but with a gap of 4 years. And every time this girl said, "I Googled where you were preaching in England. I asked to come to your meeting. You laid hands on me, and within 9 months, I was pregnant." She said, "How much more will my Father give me? Even more grace. I deserve nothing. But God has seen me fit to be a parent and raise children." Isn't that amazing? I'm preaching to someone in this house. You've said I disqualify, but I tell you there's a God in heaven, and there's a voice crying in your wilderness, "No, this is upgrade season. There is more for you." Ephesians 3:20. Come on, Dream Center. You must know this scripture. Ephesians 3, verse 20. What does it say? "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in you." Malaysia, you precious Malaysians, God wants you to do immeasurably more for you in your nation, for you in your home, for you in your workplace, than you can ask or imagine. So today, start asking, "God, this is what I want." Ask, begin to imagine. But there is a God who says this is an upgrade season. "I want to do so much more for you." You see, this is a journey of hope. It's a journey of more. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun. It shines ever brighter until the full day of dawn." Often in our mind, when we think of a day, we think that we're born at the dawn. Then by the time we're 20, 30, we reach the midday sun. Those are our best days. We feel the cutest. We look the smartest. We have the best bank account. You know, people notice us and we feel great. And then we sort of go downhill from about 50 onwards. We get a bit of fat and things begin to wobble and we don't feel so cute and we begin to forget things and suddenly we're a bit old and dodgy and we have the sun rise of birth. You know, 20s is about noonday and from then on downhill. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and I'm 58 and I'm ready to cause trouble. I'm 58 and I'm not going quietly. I'm 58 and I believe there is a God of more. I'm 58, I've got 5 grandchildren and they know Granny's naughty. My little girl, she sees me coming and she goes right down like this and she says, "Granny, let's go." And she wiggles her little butt and she says, "I am the bestest girl in the whole wide world, and we have to do it together." She said, "Not fast enough, Granny. Faster." You see, there's a path that grows brighter and brighter. What have you got in your psyche? You see, there is an upgrade and a God of more. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it says God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And there was evening, and there was morning, and it was called the first day. The problem is that in our culture and society, we've gone very Greek and Roman. And so we start our day with sunrise, deep, 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 up to noon, do, 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 beep, 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 sunset. But the Hebraic or the Jewish or the biblical day starts in the evening. You see, there's a word of God. There's a call in the wilderness. There's something that begins to stir. You see, there's a God of more. And inside every one of us is a dream, an impossibility. Something that is impossible, but yet we still feel is reasonable. We want to do it. We want to see it. We want to smell it. We want to go there. And it doesn't matter how old you are, that little dream still is 20 years old, full of testosterone, ready to hit it and make it and do it. And it's unsatisfied because God put it there. That internal word of God that birthed you, shaped you, birthed you. There was evening, then you go into the nighttime. And then you rise in the sundown, and it says, "And the path of the righteous finishes at the noonday sun." What does heaven look like? It says the sun is always at the zenith, the noonday. You see, it gets brighter and brighter. And so there's a voice that's come to irritate you. This is not time to just wind down slowly. This is time for you, precious Malaysia, 61 years old. It's not downhill from here. No, this is increase. Let the sun shine brightly. As I looked at your Malaysia flag flying on your national day, I didn't see a crescent. I just saw the capital C. And I felt God say, "See the sun rising over your land. See the sun." And every time you look at your flag, I want you to see the sun of righteousness rising over Malaysia. See a new day. See a new thing. See the God of more. Because you're on the journey of hope. But how do we do that? Sunset, sunrise. And I felt that God wanted me to help you. Because some of us say, "Well, it doesn't feel like more. It feels like I've got my head in the dirt. I feel like everything's come to the end." How many of you feel that? I've felt that at times. I thought, "God, if you're the God of more, if you've got more promises, why does it feel like it's gone do-do-do-do-do-do, boom, 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 ksh?" Because God wants you to understand the Alpha and the Omega seasons. God wants you to understand the beginning and the end. In the communion song that we sung with Pastor Chris, we sang that song. "Majesty, King of Heaven, oh, hear me." And part one of the lines in that is, "He is the beginning and he is the end." Interesting enough, you won't know this, but last weekend I was ministering with Jarrod Cooper, who wrote that song. And he told me the story that that song, when he was a young man at 24, created for him so many royalties, it fulfilled his dream. He was in a barren place, had no money, but God had put in him the heart to plant a church in Hull, northeast England. He had no money to do it, no influence, nothing. But suddenly that song, Majesty, King of Heaven, took off, went all around the world. Royalties began to pour in, and God suddenly gave him an unexpected more upgrade. And right in the wilderness of Hull, he's planted a church that's thriving, growing, and blossoming. And so you singing the song today, you blessed Hull. Isn't that amazing? You're turning things around. We don't even understand. But you see, there are beginnings and endings. And you see, Jarrell Cooper that day as a young man, he thought he was at the end. He'd run out of money. He had no way to do anything. It seemed impossible. And then suddenly, God gave him a little song. And the little song went viral. And everything got shifted. And you see, I felt God say, if you're going to step up and step into all your opportunities, we need an understanding of beginnings and endings. Most of us, you see, have an offense with God, or we get bitter or confused because we don't understand the beginnings and the endings in the season of God. There is a voice crying in the wilderness. There's more. But you think, how? It feels like it's finished. Let me ask you a question. Which do you prefer, a birth or a death? Which do you prefer, the birthing of a business and opening it up, or the closing of the business and redundancy? Which do you prefer? The birth, the starting. You see, we're programmed to love the Alpha. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, who was and is to come. But most of us don't understand that life has omegas all the way through. There isn't just one ending when we die. There are other endings through life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so when the ending happens, we feel barren, desolate, and we can then, if we're not careful, miss the Alpha of the new season. I believe in Malaysia. There has been an Omega season. There has been a season where God has said, it is finished. It is ended. There are many things, governmentally, politically, and even socially, maybe in your personal life, suddenly it's come to an end. Maybe you weren't expecting it, and you thought, oh my goodness, I feel bereft. But I've come as a voice crying in that wilderness time to say to you, no, there is more, there's an upgrade. Just because there was an ending doesn't mean it is the end. But some things have got to end. Because God is the God of Alpha and Omega. And if you will allow God to help you, maybe some of you have fallen in love. And you really thought this relationship was going to go through to marriage. And suddenly, it's all fallen apart. And there's been an omega, and you're brokenhearted here today. I want to say to you, there is still an Alpha to come. There is still an Alpha to come. Today, God is the God of the beginning and the ending. But will you trust God in the ending? Today, for me, is a sad day as well as a happy day. Today, the 1st of September, my father, who's 88 years old, got moved into a care home. He's been a missionary, a fine man. Much of the Bible I know he taught me. I love my daddy very, very much. But unfortunately, he's become so confused and mentally challenged, and now physically challenged, unable to walk, doubly incontinent. Really, my mum finally at 84 said, I cannot look after him. I physically cannot help. My brother has tried to help, but medically, we just can't do it anymore. So today, he's moved into a home. It's an omega of my daddy that I've known. Do I like it? No. Do I want to think about it too much? No, because I might cry. But there are times and seasons. But in the midst of it all, I have a God that says, yes, I am the Omega, but I'm also an Alpha. And so many times for some of you here, God has been asking you to finish some things. Maybe there's some friendships that need to transition. Maybe there's a job that you need to move and let go. Maybe there's a house and God's begun speaking to you. It's time to move. There's just things that if you're honest, you know God has begun to speak to you. It's time to finish this. And it's so important that we work in the seasons of God and we finish things so that we can start things. And I want to finish this thought with this verse in Leviticus 26, verse 9. Because you see, God's got a promise for you, Malaysia, and God's got a promise for you individually. And this is what he would say to you. Leviticus 26, verse 9. I will look on you with favor. You can read it with me. And I will make you fruitful, and I will increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You see, this is God getting you ready for a shift of season. This is the promise of the Alpha. But look what you have to do first. Verse 10. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out to make room for the new. I think this is one of the hardest things we have to do. Is that God begins to touch things that we still like. Friendships that are still working, houses that we're still happy in, jobs that are okay, but we begin to feel the hand of God saying, let go, it's time to grow. Let go, it's time to step up. Let go, I've got something more for you. Let go, there's an opportunity, but you have to finish. Omega, end. I'm the God of ending. So that you can start something new. Will you move out? Will you make some room for God so that something new can be birthed? You see, most of us are far too busy, and if we won't stop something, we've got no space to stretch to the new thing. Some of you know God has been saying there's opportunities for you, but do you have the courage to stop, to start? Hebrews 12 puts it like this. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the pioneer and the perfecter, completer, finisher. He starts it. He finishes it. So I believe God, and I'm skipping a slide or two here. God wants to say to you, are you ready for more? Are you ready for more? Are you ready to pioneer again? Are you ready, for the sake of Malaysia, to be a voice crying in the wilderness that makes that new path, pioneers a new thing? Like Joshua, he wants to say to you, come on, be bold, be strong, pioneer a new thing. It's a new day. But you need to be courageous and let go. To grow. I want to finish with this story. Ready for more. Here's a picture. Ready to pioneer again. I've gone on a little bit. Of Nicola. She came to visit me in England, or visit us in April. She walked into our room and she said, Mom, I've just found out that when I get back to Melbourne, I'm going to have to preach to the whole of Sisterhood. There's about 12,000 people. I'm scared. Then I've got to do the Sunday services, and I've got to preach three times. But the problem is that I'm flying all the way from London to Melbourne. It's 32 hours, and I'm in economy class, and I'm going to be shattered, and I have to get straight off that plane, preach three times. I don't think I can do it. Mum, I can't do it. Mum, I really need an upgrade. Mom, you fly a lot. Can you get me an upgrade? Will you ring the airlines? You've got status with the plane. Will they do it for you? And I said, I'm really sorry. You're Qantas. I'm British Airways. I said, I'd love to try. And I tried, and they said, no, the airlines are up. And so I said, Nicola, but I believe in a God of upgrades. I believe that as you begin to step in, she said, but Mum, I don't even know if I can do it. I said, that's a great place to be. But I said, come on, let's pray. And I went into my bedroom, and as I got into my closet, I was just pulling around, and out of the top of my wardrobe fell down some clothes, and amongst it just happened to be the wonderful, fashionable, business-class pajamas they give you when you fly. For some reason, I'd kept them. Who knows why? I was thinking I might do some painting or decorating. But there they are, the Qantas business-class things from when I was upgraded once. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, go find Nicola. So my daughter, she's cute, she dresses nice, and I showed her these, and I said, Nicola, go to sleep in these. And she says, why? I said, because I believe you need to get let go of some of your fashion instinct to move into the new. I said, I just joked with her. I said, no, put them on. I feel the Holy Spirit spoke to me that you need to get ready for upgrades in your life. And this is the upgrade pajamas. Where you go to sleep, you can't do anything about it. But we have a God of more. A God, how much more will your Father in heaven do abundantly more for those who ask him? I said, we're going to stand here and ask our daddy God to give you an upgrade. And now you are going to have an upgrade mentality. Go to bed and sleep. 7:45 in the morning, bing, 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 her texts start going. It's Qantas Airlines. Good morning, Mrs. Douglas. We look forward to welcoming you to flight such and such, such and such. You have been upgraded. You have been upgraded. Nicola stood there and cried. She said, Mum, but I don't qualify. I haven't done all the things you need to do to get an upgrade. I said, Qantas doesn't care today. God has upgraded you. I couldn't do it. No one could do it. But God has gotten in the computer and he has upgraded you. We get to the airport. It's the brand new flight. London, Perth. It is the best upgrade you can get in the world. It's 17.25 hours. No other upgrade gives you that length of time. She was upgraded on the longest flight possible upgrade. We then go to check her in and they say, oh, Mrs. Douglas, we've decided we'll upgrade you all the way to Melbourne. We've done your Melbourne flights too. Double upgrade. Thank you, Jesus. The thing was, I was preparing this word at that time, and it became a sign to me. I felt God say, get ready for upgrades. If you will begin to let go of the old, if you will begin to shut the doors to things that have held you, if you will begin to let God give you a mentality of more, if you will let God allow you to think like he thinks, something's going to shift in your world, and you won't have to make it happen. Even while you're sleeping, the God of all greatness and goodness will give you far more abundantly above all you can ask or think. But you just need to be ready to position yourself. Nicola lay down, positioned, and God upgraded. So I want to finish with this scripture, John chapter 2, verse 10. It's Jesus at a wedding. And the host, it says, always serves the best wine first. And then everyone has a lot to drink and they're a bit drunk. They bring out the expensive wine because they hope they won't notice. But then there's this little verse, but Jesus, you're different. Jesus, you don't let us just peter out. You don't save the worst to last. You don't give us the best at first and then say, the honeymoon's over, now work hard. I want to say to you, the honeymoon never gets over. We're in the kingdom of God. There is more for Malaysia. There is greater things still to come. Jesus has saved the best until now. So what is this voice crying in the wilderness, this prophetic voice? This is what it says. God would say to you in your life, I have kept the best until now. Next slide, please. I have kept the best until now. Wherever you are in your life, God has more for you. There is more. So I want you just to close your eyes for a minute. Worship team, if you're ready, just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine that more of God. Where does God want to give you more? Where has your life got stuck? Can you hear the cry of God? I've got more. I wonder if we can just stand together. And as you stand, I want you to step into the more of God. We've had the beautiful communion table here that speaks of the love of God for us. Whatever you've done, whatever failings you've had, there is a God of more for you today. He has more. And he wants to give you so much more. Now I want to ask the prayer team, the pastors, the leaders who pray for people, if you'd be ready to come to the front. But I want to give you an opportunity today. If you're not sure where Jesus is in your life, and you need more of God in your life, you're in the right place at the right time. And it would be really wrong for me to just say, great, have a happy day, goodbye, without giving you an opportunity to encounter Jesus. You see, like those wonderful people I met, those drug addicts, they discovered Jesus and everything changed. But I wasn't a drug addict. I'd not done anything particularly wrong, but I was just as bound up. I could not break the sound barrier. I was so bound with fear and insecurity. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do what God made me to do. I had so believed the lie that I was nothing. But then Gordon and God began to say, no, you are worth more. You are of more value. God's got a purpose for your life. And I suddenly began to step out of the insecurity and up and into the goodness of God. And there are people here today. The devil's got you trapped in the wrong place with the wrong mindset. But God sent me all the way from England to come because he loves you so much and he wants to break the bondage that's kept you in a tight, difficult place. And he wants you to grow up and grow out and step into all your opportunities and discover there is so much more. So I give you a very simple invitation. That wherever you're standing, and even if you're at the top, we've got time for you. But I want to open this space and make it a big space. And if you know you've got stuck, I've almost got two calls. I'm going to make this space so that there's immediate space here. If you know you need to get your life right with Jesus, if you know you need to put Jesus in that central space, maybe you've had God in your world, but if you're really honest today, you know that Jesus isn't in the right place. You see, no church can save you. No church died for you. Coming to church is not enough. It's coming to Jesus. I'm a mish kid and a preacher's kid. I went to church for a long time, but there was a time, a place, and a day when I, Rachel Nicola Vincent, as I was then, now Hickson, came to Jesus and said, I want you, Jesus. Not because of my mum, my dad, or my tradition, but I want you. And I discovered when I came to Jesus, everything changed. Church can't save you, Jesus can. He died for you. He loves you. And so today, if you know, maybe you've never let go and let God in your life, this is your special space of more right here in front of me. For others of you, you just know you've got stuck, that God is speaking, stirring, irritating you. There is more for you. Dream more. Step up. And you know, if you're honest, I've just got stuck. But today I'm stepping out, and I believe that even more my Father will do. Then come to this side, or come to this side. And as we worship, we're going to believe that this incredible God who upgrades, who takes nothings and gives them a voice. There's a voice crying in the wilderness. He says, come on. We're going to shift it. Every mountain brought low, every valley raised up. This is a new day. So as we worship, you just come. And pastors and prayer leaders, those who are ready to pray, if you could just come and be ready to pray with people, that would be fantastic. If you're on the balconies, get running. Come here. We want to pray for you.